This podcast is made possible in part by ProHealth Physicians, along with the members of WSHU Public Radio. If you want to support what you hear, you can donate at WSHU.org. I'm Randy Kaye with Good at Heart. You know, not all Good at Heart journeys begin with starting a nonprofit. Some professions, just by their very nature, are a Good at Heart choice from the beginning. I doubt that too many in the teaching profession are motivated by, say, getting rich. But we'll find out in a minute. Teaching can be, I think, extra tough these days, and yet the love is so evident. And with me today are two such teachers. This may be the first of a few episodes that will highlight how much those who teach our children are indeed good at heart. So I want to begin by asking you, Heather, we'll start with you, your name, what you teach, and where?
Oh, my name is Heather DeLude, and I teach both English and theater, grades 9 through 12, everything from 9th grade English all the way up to AP. I've taught at many, many different districts, but I've been at Wilton for a little over a decade at Wilton High School.
Okay, welcome. And Stephanie?
Hi, I teach second grade in New Milford, Connecticut at Northville Elementary School. I also was in Darien for a while, but am rounding my sixth year now in New Milford.
Closer to home.
Exactly.
That's a much better commute. And your name is?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Stephanie Pilla.
Ms. Pilla. Okay, so we have a second grade teacher and we have a high school teacher. I have five standard questions that I ask. I'm going to start with the first one, which is, who do you help and how?
First of all, I work with some of the most misunderstood and underestimated groups of our society, and that is teens. And I would say I help teens, but I would rather say I help society in helping teens. I typically help them, I think, find their voice in this world, in this ever-complicated world. I would also say through English and theater particularly, I help them find their empathy. I help them become listeners, and I help them become speakers. And I help them know that they have a place that is meaningful in this world and ultimately that they are loved.
I normally don't cry till the last question, but I'm already there. Okay, because yes, you know, teaching empathy through theater, through fiction, that is a great, great tool. Stephanie, how about you? Who do you help and how?
That's amazing. I first want to thank Heather because I have two adolescents of my own. So you are doing amazing work.
I do too.
It's a special age group. I help second graders grow, not just academically in early elementary ed, but as people. Every day I create a classroom that I try to make feel like a family. I tell the children, I want, you know, my little people to feel safe, valued, and I want their voices, although very small, I want their voices to be heard. We learn how to take care of one another in my classroom. We learn how to celebrate our friends' successes, and we celebrate our differences, too. We work together. We collaborate. It's the small moments, you know, helping a friend, including someone new, using kind words. That's where I really see the biggest growth.
Wow, that is so amazing. Now, just so you know where I am, my children are more grown than yours, but I have grandchildren in elementary school, so they're second, third, and fourth grade, boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
And so they happen to have fantastic teachers, and I am, as a grandmother now, in awe of teachers. This is an extra question, but do you feel that teaching, you've both been teaching many years,
yeah,
is a little harder these days? So you're both nodding. Stephanie, I'll just start with you.
Sure. I do. I do feel like teaching is a little harder today. I feel like our world is a little harder. You know, children are growing up faster today with technology and social media, and our expectations are greater in education and, you know, just in life. So I feel like that speed for children could be anxiety provoking. And I do. I feel like it's a little bit more challenging today.
Yeah, thank you. Heather, how about you?
I'm struck at what she said, because sometimes I think there's, you know, oh, there's a difference between elementary and high school. And boy, is there not, because everything she just said, I would yes and to, and just say that they are profoundly affected by technology. Everything that is coming at them, everything in the world that is telling them that they are not good enough, the constant interaction with social media. We are at a self phone-free high school, and it is one of the greatest gifts. And when I say cell phone-free, I mean from bell to bell. And I am seeing such growth and happiness again in the hallways, in our conversations, in the laughter, in the connectedness. And I think that sometimes we demonize, particularly teens. And I want to say that this is the world that they have inherited. They did not create this. I think it is more difficult growing up today. And they need a sense of love and acceptance and a platform where they can be safe, because most of the world, particularly the online world, is not a safe place for them. I would say that has become more challenging, just to teach a kid how to look one in the eye, how to be a good listener, how to react, how to step outside their comfort zone and deal with the rising sense of anxiety and lack of self-worth. I've lost a few students who passed away suddenly and unexpectedly, including one this year. And I'm here to say that they need more love. They might be in what you believe to be adult bodies, but they need about as much love as her second grader.
Yeah. You know, thank you. And I think we could probably do an entire episode on this. My daughter works at Fairfield High School. Mm-hmm. She's a college and career counselor. And so she sees them basically junior and senior year, but she's part of the community there, and they've also gone bell-to-bell cell phone free, and she's seen a huge difference. In fact, as a fellow actor, you'll appreciate this. I know on one of my favorite shows, The Pitt, that Noah Wiley has created a cell phone free set, and they just put their phones away, and they have a little lending library, and he says we have the most well-read cast, because there's a lot of downtime when you're doing a show, and so it's going to be very interesting to observe the changes that happen when people look each other in the eye again. And
so, you know, true.
It is a convenience. And I know my grandchildren have strict guidelines about screen time, which I, you know, I thank goodness my daughter feels that way about it, and I can support her parenting. But I'm so glad you said that, because I do know college acting teachers, and I asked about 3 years ago, I was speaking to one. She's been teaching 20 years. And I said, what do you notice now about the freshmen? She goes, oh, well, I have a lot of things I didn't have to work on before. It takes about 3 months to bring them up to speed with human connection. And this was at the time when there weren't bell-to-bell cell phone bans. So hopefully that is helping your kids to connect and get away from the relentless interference that screens can be, although they are a convenience in some way, said from a person who's going to have a Zoom rehearsal tonight. But anyway, okay. So I want to ask you the next question, which is why you, like, how did you get to become a teacher? What was your motivation?
I was in acting. I come from a Chicago improvisational background. I was on tour and found out I was having a baby. I had been teaching improvisation, mostly to adults, but also to teens. And I thought, well, this is a segue. I also was a reader and an English major, too. And I thought, this will be mom friendly. Oh, boy. This will give me more time. And it was a natural leaning in. And I think actually I went into teaching in my 30s. And I think actually having the experience in the outside world has made me a better teacher. And I know it's cliche, but I do believe it is a calling. I can't imagine a day of my life not teaching in some way.
I love that. And I said, Stephanie, you're nodding your head vehemently over there. So what is your story of wanting to be a teacher?
So I agree with Heather. It is a calling. I actually come from a long line of educators, starting with uncles, aunts, and my own mother, who then became a principal for a long time. So I guess I was inspired from day one growing up in my mother's classroom as a child, and then playing school myself for years, gathering the neighborhood kids in my basement, in my fake classroom, being a little bossy, but definitely, you know, hopefully teaching them something. But
you were a leader, not a bossy.
Thank you.
A leader.
Thank you. I love that. What inspired me to go into elementary education is that I feel like that's where everything kind of begins. The way children learn to treat other children at this age really stays with them. This matters to me because although teaching academics is so important, my passion is teaching them how to be people that go out in the community mm-hmm. and be good humans
yes.
and send them on to Heather, hopefully with a lesson or two from second grade. You know, I'm hoping to shape compassionate humans that understand they belong and that others do too. That's really important to me. And that's what inspired me to get into the profession.
I love that. And something you may not know about me, I was a drama teacher for 12 years at a private school in Fairfield. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got into it because I could, and I wanted my kids to go there. You know, it was a mom thing.
Sure.
But, you know, I got so much out of it, watching growth and watching students who didn't know where else to shine suddenly discover that they either could do this terrifying thing they thought they couldn't do, they don't love it, but they could do it.
Right.
To like, oh my God, get the spotlight on me. Like it everybody has a different calling.
Absolutely.
And I think we're all sort of built, you know, have 3 grandchildren in 2.5 years, and you see how each one has different skill set. I'm sure as teachers, you see that all the time.
Can I build on something she said, too, that, again, I'm just amazed by how many connections there really are between the grade levels. And I would say, too, whether it's second grade curriculum or, again, I mean, I teach at a very high-performing high school, so I'm teaching Tolstoy to Hemingway to Margaret Atwood to James Joyce. And I will say that it's never about that. It's about reading that and understanding their place in the world and what they have to say after reading Emerson, after reading Hemingway, after reading Atwood, you know, George Eliot. And it's just amazing to me the connections that we really do all teach the same thing, and that is people first and academics second, truly.
Yeah. And the fact that teachers, this is why we're here, that you don't, except for Teacher of the Week year or the contests or whatever, or the mugs that you probably get when school closes, but, you know, or Target gift cards. I don't know what they give now at the end of the year. But I just wanted to honor both of you and all teachers through you.
Thank you.
So question 3 is, what inspires you? Is there somebody that helps you or inspires you with what you do?
I mean, I certainly can say specific and individuals. I've certainly learned from many of my veteran teachers, I think, that have been mentors to me. Now I'm a veteran teacher, so I'm hoping I'm the mentor. But I think that anybody who lives unapologetically and does that in kindness and love. And I think my students inspire me most. I could tell a story. It was recently, there was a student who was male presenting, and he used to wear a skirt to school every day. And I mean a big, flouncy, gorgeous taffeta, you know, in multiple colors. And as you can imagine, life was not easy for him in high school. Recently, he reached out to me. He is a fashion designer, one of the top in New York right now.
Wow.
And I've recently reached out to me about a wedding coming up. And I thought, now here are the rewards of living unapologetically and fearlessly yourself, and not in harm of others, but in their expression that allows others to do the same. You know, living in their light and living in their truth inspires others to do the same. And I think so many of my students do that on a daily basis, even though it's more difficult than ever to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially what the consequences will be on technology or media or that kind of thing. And they inspire me. And I think, well, if they can do that, then I certainly can come do this.
That's incredible.
Love that. Stephanie, who inspires you? Any quote or any kind of, or is it your students as
Sure.
well?
Sure. I agree with Heather. First of all, teaching is kind of a payback profession. So the mentors, I mean, I'd be here all day if I listed them.
Right.
I've had so many amazing mentors along the way. I'm grateful for the school district I teach in, and particularly my Northville Elementary School, my leaders there, our admin team. You know, they put children first. Mm-hmm. You know, relationships over rigor. It's just who we are. But my students certainly do inspire me. They take risks every day. Second graders are just so cool. You know, they're resilient. They say what they feel.
They do.
You know, they're honest. I had a student just the other day say, Mrs. Pilla, did you have your coffee today? You look really tired. And I'm like, you are so perceptive. I'm exhausted. And I did not stop for that coffee run. A quote that really inspires me is by Maya Angelou that goes, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And that is so true to me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And, you know, my second grade grandchild is a boy, and he's the only one who's like, Grandma, you're wearing mascara today. Like, how does he even notice?
It's perceptive.
Completely surprising. Children are completely surprising. You just never know what they're thinking. And to watch them blossom as a parent and as a grandparent, you get a long view.
It's amazing.
As a teacher, you maybe see them for 4 years, and I'm sure some kids come back to visit you when they're big and tall. So teaching's hard these days. You get some flack, I think. You get some blame, I think. And again, we could talk for an hour about that. I know as a kid, I was to do what the teacher says.
Yes.
So with that said, as a challenge, let me ask you the solution question. How can other people help teachers, help you right now?
You know, I've taught in many different districts all the way from Waterbury to Norwalk to Wilton. But I would say no matter what the transaction is to stop looking at education as some kind of deal or transaction, whether it's, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get this grade because it's going to set me up for here. It is a transaction of sorts, but not a monetary one. It's one of the human spirit. And I would say to get involved with your child, even in high school. In fact, they may need you more there, okay? To get involved, to communicate with your teachers, to partner with your teachers. We all truly want the best for your child, to celebrate when your children do well, to hold them accountable when they are, when they do something they regret, and they will, and as I will. None of us are perfect. So I think partnership is key, and the more that you can partner with your child's teacher, especially I would beg you in high school, that it is not, they are not adults. They do need help. They do need guidance. They do need support. So I think partnership is the number one thing. And I'm very lucky. I think I've had amazing parents all the way through. But that's true. I also want to give a shout out to my administration because I feel utterly supported. You know, being an English teacher, I'm sure you can imagine, is difficult. I've sat on committees where people want to remove certain books for the curriculum, et cetera. And I feel very lucky that I have a student first, even despite all the pressure that they have in districts to put certain SAT scores out or even real estate prices being attached to it. And I think that my job would not have been possible and I would not have stayed as long as I have in the certain district I am if I did not have the backing of people that have my back, from the guidance counselor to the custodian to the vice principal to the paraprofessional. We are a family.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Stephanie, anything to add to that?
That's hard to follow. Okay. That was amazing, Heather. But I would totally agree. Schools are not a business. You know, we're a family. We're a community. We're shaping minds. We're growing humans. And, you know, education is not one size fits all. It's just not. I have a famous kind of saying in my classroom that the children will fill in the blank. We say fair is not the, and they fill in the blank. Fair is not the same. It's getting what you need to be successful. Because you had asked earlier how the classroom has changed. You know, we it's changed for the better, too. We have a lot of understanding of things now. We have a lot of tools we can give children to cope with different anxieties and academic struggles. In second grade, I don't know if you get this in high school, but in second grade, sometimes you'll get, well, that's not fair. Why do they have a fidget? That's not fair. Why do they get to go into the rest and reset corner? You know, and so I kind of get rid of that by saying, hey, fair is not the same. You know, it's getting what we each need to be successful. And then we kind of go around our little restorative circle saying, our strengths and our weaknesses and what we need, and respecting that. So I just think if the communities and families could also model that at home and in sports teams and, you know, other places, it would just be so wonderful.
That's great. That is a new retort for me because my normal answer is, well, life isn't fair. So I like that better. Fair is not the same. It's when I talk to my grandchildren and, you know, they're special, but I always say, you're special to us in our family, but everybody in your class is just as special to their family.
That's
so that everybody is special to their their people, their group.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
You know, and I don't want them to feel any more special than anybody else in their classroom. It's secondary advice because I'm the grandmother, not the mother. but you know, it's not this kind of like, I'm entitled because I'm more special than anybody, like the opening song in Matilda, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. This is a wonderful conversation, and I can't believe it, but we're at our final question, which is, why do you think we're here on Earth? And I think I've given you time to think about it, but Heather, why do you think we're here on Earth?
Well, again, I hate to be cliche as an English teacher, but it truly is to love one another, to support one another. I come from the improv background. It is yes and. It is empathy in action. It is make your partner look great. It is, this is a collaboration and not a competition. And I think that's important. And that love should extend to all living things in this planet as well. And I think that's such a basic message, but it is being lost today. And it is absolutely true.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yes.
Stephanie?
I would totally agree. I say that we're here to take care of one another. And that's, you know, to lift each other up, to learn from our differences and to leave people better than we found them. If my students leave my classroom knowing that I love them and they are loved and they have the power to make others feel that way, then I really feel successful and happy and fulfilled.
Wow. Okay, so I always know that it's striking a chord when our producer, Ann Lopez, is nodding her head vehemently in the other room, which she is doing. Heather and Stephanie, you have my love and respect and kudos for everything you do to help our children become empathetic, kind, and I guess smart in the emotional way and probably intellectual as well, and
Thank
to
you.
Helping them feel included and loved and being a partner in raising good people. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you
us.
Thank you so much for having us.